Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that abides in all believers, to Bishop Christian and his wife, to the ministers, the saints, and my sisters and brothers in Christ, I take it not lightly to stand before you. For I realize that I've been to a lot of churches, and I know this one church that the body know the word. So as I was asking the Lord to give me a word for you, I said, Lord, I don't want to waste their time. They know the Bible. Old Bishop Christendon taught them the Bible. I said, so I don't want to get up here and, oh, I could do a little hooping. I know how. I come from a family of hoopers. But I say, they don't need to hear no hooping. They need a word from you. And so as I contemplated, well, Lord, you know, Bountiful, they've studied the word. They come to Bible study. What could I possibly tell these smart, astute people in the Word of God? And he said, you can tell them my word. So the Lord gave me a word for you this morning, and it's called, you know. How fitting is that? You know. But because I tell you that most of the time I preach, I go through it, so I ain't going to make a disclaimer. I'm going to just tell you the straight truth. I'm going to spit some truth to you. Most of the things I say, guilty of them, lived them, suffered through them, and God redeemed me. And so my word today is, you know. So it ain't nothing personal. I ain't got nothing to hold in nobody's charge. You know, I have to completely, every day, remind myself how without Jesus Christ, I would be a disqualifier of myself. But I won't hold you long. I'm just going to run a few things about you, by you that you know. I would like to give honor to Bishop Christian, pastoring, the ministry, just living a Christian life is hard. Not because God hadn't provided us the nutrition that we need to make it, but because we're human beings and we're influenced by so many different things. A lot of times the circumstances get in the way. The ups and the downs, the bad relationships. A lot of times finance. I don't know, but I know that you know that this is a endurance race, that you gotta fight it to the end. So I won't sit up here and chit-chat too long. I'm going to go and go to the word, and hopefully I stay at your business, and I'm a hide man, but we need to all pray. My message this morning, as I said, is you know, and the first thing I would like to share with you that you know is that God is real. It's a wave going through today. People say, oh, I don't believe in God. You got some people, they even, I'm gonna see what they call themselves, atheists. And as I was studying this word, I realized that there's no such thing as an atheist. I'll tell you why. In the book of Romans 1:18, the Bible says that, but God showed his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Verse 19 says, for the truth about God is known to them instinctively. And when you have an instinct like a dog, he must chase the cat. Or like a lion, he's a predator. He's going to attack. So when you say instinctively, I had a neighbor, well, I still got a neighbor, and he got this little bitty, I don't know what type it is, but this is a real obedient dog that he very seldom ever bark. He look out the window when his owner is gone. But one day I was sitting out there with him, and a cat run by, and he lost it. He took off at that cat. And so when I was reading this scripture, and it said instinctively, I understood that when you have an instinct, you must do what your instinct called for you to do. Amen? Then in the latter part of that verse, it said, God has put this knowledge in their hearts. For even since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So when atheists say he don't know, you know he lying. You know he lying. Verse 21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their mind became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. There's a new show coming out this fall called God Befriended Me. And the guy is playing an atheist who don't believe in God, so he say. But God befriends him, and now he believe. But I'm here to tell you that God befriended us way long ago, 2,000 years ago, in the form of Jesus Christ. And so I said to myself about that show, well, you're right in one thing saying God befriended me, but it was a long time ago. He been loving us a long time. Yeah. Then the second thing I want to share with you that you know is you know Jesus Christ. In John 17:3, it says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to the earth. John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except through me. You know Jesus. John 1:5-20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding that we can know the true God, and know we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Mm-hmm. Philippians 2:10 says, therefore God elevated him in a place of the highest honor and gave him the name above other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Now, I know you say, well, yeah, brother, we know that. But do you know there's so many people out here don't know Jesus? And it's a serious thing because eternal life is at stake. I tell people all the time that I would rather believe in Jesus and die and find out he don't exist than to not believe in Jesus and die and find out he do exist. It's So I call it some insurance. And I've learned in my walk in Christ and even in life to keep my mouth off people, to not judge people while they're going through what they're going through. Because I found that most people dealing with something. And I'll say to you, Bountiful, I believe you're a good bunch of Christians. If it's such thing as a good bunch of Christians, most of y'all are faithful. Y'all come to church. But, oh, you know what I know? That you may not know. You may not know this. That the devil creeped in. He creeped in. He pulled one over on you. But we're going to get to that later. Let me keep on going because I'm going to get off strip. You know the order of Jesus' church. You know the order. Yes. And the thing about church today, we must always keep in the forefront of our mind that Jesus must increase, and you must decrease. He must become greater and greater, and you must become less and lesser. Jesus must become the most powerful, the most important thing, while I, me, you become lesser. And how the devil sneak one in on you? He causes you to get confused with what this is about. See, we get to a point where we think, this is about me. And then when we find out it ain't about us, see, the coldest thing, and I was talking to a great bishop a couple weeks ago, and he founded a church. He struggled and fought with it for 25, maybe 30 years. I don't know the exact number. And we were talking. And he said, it seemed like, you know, in so many words, because I don't want to put words in his mouth. He said, it seemed like, you know, this is just getting harder. And I'm not seeing, you know, the progress as I would imagine the Lord would allow. And I told him, I said, well, you may be dead when it come about, but it'll come about. And he said, what good did that do me? And I said, well, it ain't about you. And immediately he understood. It ain't about him. It ain't about us. Even though we come to church, and we really think it is. And I mean, I've been a chief guilty of that. You let me preach. I want to go put out flyers and tell everybody I'm preaching. But when you preach, I even the pastor preach. I just come to church. You know what I mean? I'm just being for real. You know, we have to get to that point that it ain't about us. In the book of Luke 9:23, it says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So I get to this point with you, Bountiful. You know. It's a lot of ministers in here. You know, and you know. You know how it's supposed to go. So this is one of the tricks of the devil. Selfishness and self-promotion is one of the most effective tools the devil uses. He just, and you know, for long times, and now I'm just guessing, and you will have to examine this for yourself. See, the devil know you know the word. He know the word. So he know that you on guard if a man wants to walk through this door right now in a big old red suit and things on and look around and say, I'm looking for somebody to go rob a store. Every one of y'all gonna say, no, I ain't going, devil. You can get away from me. But if he slides in a brand new suit, he may be able to just say, Brother Keith, you know, Brother Sim said something about you. Guess what happened then, Brother Sim? Are we mad at each other as soon as you hear the word? Yeah, I'm mad at you. You're going to be mad at me. That's just the way it is. But see, we got to get out of this thought that the devil is just going to show up and tell you what he's going to do. He'll use your friends, your husband, your wife, your neighbors. He ain't got no limit to who he'll use. But I just wanted to say to you today, Bountiful, you know. In 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people who love only themselves and their money, they will be boastful and proud, scoffers at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander each other and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Before I move to this other point, I have no idea, but I'm gonna have to step on somebody's toes. Bountiful, you know that you must forgive your brothers and sisters. I can't believe that you didn't let the devil trick you to come up in here every Sunday, every Wednesday, and have some unforgiveness in your heart for one of your sisters and brothers. As intelligent in this word that you are, Bountiful, how could you let the devil trick you? Tell me, I don't like them. They better never say nothing to me. She rolled her eyes at me. She had the nerve not to speak. Really, Bountiful? No, y'all are too astute in the word of God to fall for a trick like that from the devil. And I would encourage you, if you got an ought against anybody, whether it's in here, but I'm especially talking about the house of God, but even on your job, in your neighborhood, or in your relationship, because don't think the devil get into husband and wife and make them hate each other. Never ask them for forgiveness. I wish I had a fancy word, so I'm going to do like the King James word version and say, brothers and sisters, I beseech you. Don't let the devil trick you like that. You know. You know. The second thing I would like to talk about, and this is straight for you, Bountiful, and yeah, I'm guilty of it, our tenders. You know, as God was giving him his word, you know, I pondered this and that. Maybe he had a little unforgiveness. I don't know. I think Stevie made me mad, you know. But it's been so long, I forgot what I was mad about. That's how silly most of the time it be. But I was here. I missed Sundays this month. And I missed three last month. And I ain't been to Bible study, God knows when. I'm just being for real with you. I kind of felt like I was being a hypocrite for coming to prayer this morning because I ain't been to prayer, boy. I don't know since Moses walked earth. I'm just being for real with you. I love the Lord. I'm saved. But we get caught up. The devil fool us. He put unforgiveness in our heart. It ain't nothing in the vocabulary that Satan won't use to trick you, to throw you off course. But I was standing over there where Brother Davis was last Sunday, minding my business, you know, just looking around, getting ready to leave. And this little quiet, settled voice said, "Brother Keith, I miss you." So I didn't say nothing. I just looked at her. She said, "But where have you been all these Sundays?" And I said, "Who you think you're talking to?" She said, "I'm talking to you, brother. I miss you. I hadn't seen you here." I said, "So you call yourself checking me?" She said, "Well, no, I just noticed you hadn't been here, and I missed you, and I love you." I said, "Well, I'm going to tell the bishop on you." I thought that would really run her off. She said, "No, you're not a snitch, is you?" I said, "Wow." And I think I told Sister Rihanna, I said, "Well, you will see in the future." See, God was confirming his word because I had fell into that pattern. And so I have another scripture for you, and you know it. And you know, this is like, I don't know. It's a funny thing when you're preaching to you, Bountiful, because all your eyes on me. And I know you know. But see, the good thing about me, I believe that you do love me. So if I mess up, misquote a scripture, I ain't mad at you and say, "Oh, wait a minute, brother. That word went for the other word." See, I ain't mad. Because I know you're doing it out of love. Well, Hebrews 10 and 24 says, "Do not forsake yourself to assemble, which is the habit of some, even as you see that dreadful day approaching." I know we normally teach in the New Living Translation, but I'm one of them old school guys that I'm going to remember the scripture whichever way I can and whatever version it is. I'm just, you know, that's just the way it is. But again, Bountiful, I think y'all done let the devil, I know I did, sneak one in on us again. You know that if the Bible says do not and you do, it's sin. So where did we get this thing about we ain't got to come to church? I can watch evangelists. I ain't going to hell because I don't go to church. No, but you in sin. You in sin. It didn't say this is your choice. You can come to church. Oh, you don't have to. But that ain't what it said. It said, "Do not forsake yourself to assemble." But we've been going around all the time, telling me I ain't got to go to church. No. But if you don't go to church, you're in sin. Oh, I looked at Joe Osteen this morning. I got my word. And I ain't trying to offend nobody, but let one of your family members die, and you get on the phone or get on the internet and say, "Joe Osteen, can you come and funeralize my kinfolk?" You can forget it. Bountiful, you know. You know. Another thing. We got to start back to loving on one another. Y'all are some of the most giving, the most loving people. But you listen to what Satan say. He's an accuser. Why would you believe somebody that you know is a liar? The Bible says he's the father of lies. And man, I don't know what to call him. That adversary. Man, he'll just shoot one at you in a minute. And Bountiful, you know the word. You know we living in some harsh times. some tricky times where people believe in all kind of things. Don't tell me you're going to fall for it too. Man, for the last year, I can get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, put a pot of coffee on, maybe do some other things, but that ain't your business. But anyway, by 9:30, 10:30 come, I can't find a sock. I ain't got nothing to wear, but I got a closet full of clothes. It's in my mind. Satan done put it in my mind. It ain't important. You know, I was talking to my favorite pastor. He my little brother, but you know, he on fire. And he's been given the anointing. And he's worthy of the honor. We were talking about attendance and stuff, and I said, it's a lot of seats missing. Empty. A lot of people missing. He said, yeah, it is. I said, and I know why. Because of self-promotion and selfishness, ain't no seats. It's a lot of room in here. It's a lot of empty seats. So I was saying, and I understand, because I've been through this for over the last year. I'm just telling the truth. You may see me pop in from time to time, but man, that devil had tricked me. He had put in my mind that you are insignificant. It don't matter. Then he'll go as far to tell you something like, you ain't on program, so you don't need to go. And so the Lord gave me illustration, said, well, Keith, that would be just like, and I was talking to a good pastor, friend, brother of mine, and I said, you know what? I realized that that's just like me saying, I ain't going to use my right hand today, so I just cut it off and leave it at home. I don't need it today. It ain't going to do nothing today. How crazy is that? But you know, Bountiful. So I want you to know that to be a student in the Word as we are, as you are, because you know all the little tricks of the devil. You've been taught the Word of God. You didn't live the Word of God. You know that we all struggle sometimes. But why are we stepping over the wounded? You know, one of your sisters and brothers be wounded, and you step right over him. You don't call no more and say why you ain't at church. You don't invite nobody to come to church because you ain't on program. And so that's how we get all these empty seats. How did some of them come about? Some of us got selfish and thought it was about us. And I was talking to a, and I guess I said he sure talked to a lot of people, but I was talking to a brother that used to attend here. And I said, he said, well, you know, I left because I didn't like the pastor's rules. And so I asked him, I said, well, who should make the rules? Did God give the pastor the authority to make the rules over the body? Or should he let everybody make a rule? You know, let's everybody make one rule. How would that go? I said, should he have let you make the rule? Me? He said, well, no. I guess I was looking at it wrong. So I say to you, Bountiful, you know this is not a hard walk. I mean an easy walk. It's hard. It's hard. We're individuals. And sometimes my individuality, if I say it that right, I know I got some teachers up in here, and I know you know, but sometimes my individuality get in the way. But it ain't about us. It's about Christ. It's about this part of the body of Christ. Man, Bountiful wasn't put on this corner. All them years ago, to be at this point here in 2018, especially when you know. I don't know what excuse you got, Bountiful. I got one, because I got some things that made me do some things I didn't really want to do. The devil made me do it. That ain't no excuse. You know, Bountiful. God bless you. I mean, I truly thank you for this opportunity to stand before you. Because it do a hard good when you know around. You know what? And that's strange, because I understand even in a church, everybody ain't going to like you. And you ain't going to like everybody. But you owe them your prayer. You owe them your forgiveness. You owe them your respect. But I can... You know, and I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't preach up here before, boy, and I look some ways, and I'd be saying, ooh, I ain't looking back over there. They stern. But I just truly see some happy faces, and you didn't deceive me. If you ain't happy, I feel like you like me, and I don't know if it's because Bishop told y'all before I got up here, but I feel at home. When you come here, everybody should feel that way. You have no right to have no, you know what? As we age, and some of us in age, you can act like you haven't, but you have. I can walk right by you and didn't even see you. And then you get an order against me, telling me he didn't even speak to me. Well, I had to see you the first to speak. I didn't see you. Give your brothers and sisters the benefit of doubt. Because I'm telling you, from up here, man, I would think I could stand there and borrow $2 from everybody in here. That's just how beautiful your look is. That's how beautiful your anointing is. Bound for Malia, I don't know when I get an opportunity to speak before you again, but know that I love you. Know that God have given you a mission. You don't want these seats empty? Invite somebody to church. Not only when you on program, but when every time the doors open. You've been called to do that. That's evangelism. And above all, please, if you have an ought, no matter what it is, with one of your brothers and sisters, it's your duty to go to them and say, brother, forgive me. Or, sister, you hurt me, but I forgive you. Don't let the devil steal our joy. This is supposed to be a time of celebration. This is supposed to be a sanctuary. Where we can come and be among the people of God. And we got to do it. We got to get to that point. We got to graduate. It's time. God bless you, and I would like to leave you with this one scripture, which you already know. You know. And I'll just say it from remembering. To know to do good and don't do it, Bountiful, you know it's sin. Amen. God bless you.
Time for offering, let us say our offertory prayer together. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. for everything in heaven and the earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You and are the ruler of all things. In your hands, strength and power to exalt and give